Welcome to Parenting Decoded, a podcast for practical approaches to parenting. I'm Mary Eschen. Many of you feel lost and alone. Your teen or tween is distant or defiant. Things just aren't going well. The only communication when you ask how things are going are grunts or maybe, if you're lucky, fine. No matter how you ask, your kid just won't respond. Doesn't even seem to want to be in the same room with you unless, and there's usually some caveat, that they need something from you. It's such a tough time for parents to navigate. It's during the teen and tween years that our kids are learning to separate from us, and they want to test out their skills at being independent. To some of us, it might seem more like a zombie has kidnapped our kids and turned them from the sweet, adoring elementary kids into some sort of animal, a temperamental tiger, a solitary sloth, or a disrespectful dragon. It can be shocking and overwhelming. Some of us are left grieving for the good old times when we could laugh and cuddle with little ones. Others of you might be faring pretty well and have just a few parenting bumps and bruises and just want to up your game to have a closer relationship. No matter which end of the spectrum you're on, I'm glad you're listening in. I want to start out by saying that not all is lost. With some tips and tricks, you can establish a wonderful relationship that can get you over the hump and take you through to adulthood. It will take work, but if you're willing to invest time, things can really, really turn around. Taking the time and investing in a trusting, loving relationship is what will get you through this challenging and amazing time. In my YouTube lecture, Communicating with Teens, I talk about turning off the spotlight to allow our teens to relax with us and trust that we won't start pumping them for information or judging their behavior and poor choices. I really recommend listening or watching the whole talk, which I'll put in the show notes, but this podcast expands on the ideas that I started there. Many parents over the years have wanted to a more concrete list of ideas they can turn to when they'd like to connect with their teens. I do want you to understand that the best way to connect is one-on-one with your teen. No spouse, no other kids. Family time is something that I encourage for sure, but this type of bonding needs to be done solo. Ideally, your spouse will be rotating with you for each of your kids to create trust with both parents for each kid. But if they're unwilling or unable, at least one of the two of you put in the time and effort needed. So what would I recommend? First of all, be curious about their interests. I'm going to give you two examples of how parents have become curious. The first is with computer games. If you have a kid who's into gaming, ask them about their game. Find out what type of game, who they play with, how it's played. Ask about the characters. Figure out what skills they're learning. Just ask questions. When my son was in high school, he played a video game called Counter-Strike Go, or CSGO for short. It's not a game I liked. It's a shoot-'em-up game with lots of guns. But I chose to be curious. What did I learn? It's played with five players on a team who have to work together to beat another five players. They, as a team, had to decide who would play which roles in the game, since the game had strategies and having assigned roles really helps win games. There were skills and teamwork that had to be negotiated. There were practice schedules that had to be set and met. There were tournaments. What were they learning? They learned that some kids weren't dedicated enough and had to be replaced. They had to have a leader, and they learned that it was best not to have a dictator. They were learning so much more than I ever imagined. If I hadn't been curious, I would have missed out on so much, and I'd have ruined a chance to peek into my son's world. I didn't fight with my son about how much time he was spending. Why? He really didn't have that much extra time. He was active. He was playing basketball and football, getting good grades, and held down a part-time job on the weekends. He was learning a lot about keeping track of schedule and balancing activities. He was connecting with friends and dating. He didn't play alone in his room, but in a common area in our basement that we could come into at any moment. He could tell I was curious, and it really helped us stay connected. Now here's example number two. Take Taylor Swift. In this scenario, let's take a kid who loves Taylor Swift. Maybe it's a teen girl. If you're a parent of a Swiftie, as they call themselves, what can you do to be curious? One obvious choice is to listen to her music. The other is to ask your teen what their favorite albums are and which songs resonate with them. Do you think she'll get married someday? Do they know where her upcoming tours are going to be? Do they want to watch football now that she's been dating Travis Kelce? If so, watch with them. A new album just got released as I write this. Listen to it. Ask which new songs they like, who they think they're about. I'd even be curious enough to watch the Eras tour on Netflix together. I know a number of parents who even went with their daughters to see the Eras tour. A few months ago, I was talking to a mom about her Swiftie teen who was spending a lot of time making bracelets. It's a Swiftie thing. I still don't quite understand it, but the mom knew it was a thing. That mom realized that she could take some time and just sit and make bracelets with her daughter who'd been doing it alone. Yep, simple. No big deal. Just chill and do a craft project and learn what the buzz is all about. Those are just two examples, but I want you to figure out what your teens love and ask about it. But most importantly, listen to what they have to say. Don't judge, just be curious. Now, about judging, try not to judge and don't lecture. Many teens don't want to interact with their parents because they worry that their mother or father is going to have the wrong reaction. Teens will come to you more if they don't feel like every time they do, they get a lecture and are judged. Keep in mind that the length of time for a lecture to be effective with a teen before they tune you out is about 30 seconds. Try your best when they talk to you to validate their emotions and not judge them for what they are saying. Bottom line, listen more than you talk. Next, don't solve problems, just listen. When your teen does open up to you, it is often our tendency to try to solve problems or downplay their disappointments. After a romantic disappointment, saying something like, "They weren't right for you anyway," can feel really dismissive. Instead, show kids that you understand and empathize by reflecting their sentiments back to them. "Wow, that does sound difficult. Maybe they got a poor grade on a test, didn't get picked for a team, or their friends have ghosted them." Give them love and empathy. Offer them a hug or just sit with them. Knowing that someone cares enough just to be around them when things aren't going well builds trust and expands a relationship. Next, make it worthwhile to turn off their screens. Parents who struggle to connect with their teens often need a list of ideas about what to do. I gave you two detailed examples of how you can connect by being curious, but some of you ask me for more ideas. In this last part of the podcast, I'm going to do just that. Lots of ideas, pick one or two, modify them to your liking, and just try to connect. I'm going to remind you again to turn off the spotlight. No grilling questions about school and relationships. Set your intentions to have one-on-one time with your teen or your tween. It works best if you include them in the activity planning that you pick, but some of you do know what your kids like to do. So again, just try. Here goes. Boba tea. For teens and tweens, there's something magical about boba tea. I don't quite get it. It's a bit too sweet for me, but if it gets your teen to jump in the car with you and stand in line, go for it. Next step, set up a quest to find the best boba, or maybe try making your own boba together at home. Cook together. Yep, plan a meal and possibly shop together for it. Maybe you bake instead of cook a meal. Make something from a cooking or baking show that your teen watches. Here's a warning. Your teen needs to feel competent. Don't overteach or criticize. So what if the cake falls flat or you use salt instead of sugar? Laugh it off. Keep the goal of just enjoying making something together. Eat together. Go on a quest for the best sushi or ramen or pizza or burgers. Pick a cuisine and go on an adventure to find the best. A dad who had a difficult sixth grade daughter who wasn't talking to him set up a quest for the best frozen yogurt once a week when he picked her up from school. It went so well that after 4 weeks, his daughter, who had started to open up, suggested that they do something else. She suggested that they played pool together. Yep, pool. That is way more time she was choosing to spend with Dad than he had ever hoped. Such great work that dad did. It was awesome. Next, listen to music together. Let your child be the DJ in the car when you drive. Have a no headphones rule, but allow them to play their music. Again, be curious. Ask about what artists they select and get details about the songs that are being sung. Be open to different types of music you might think is awful. Have a discussion about it even, but listen anyway. Maybe you can tell them a story about themselves. Kids like to hear about themselves, especially when there are cute stories about when they were little. I wouldn't do this in front of friends or to embarrass them. Tell stories that show how adorable they were or how curious or entertaining they were. Work together. Chores can be a bore. Pick a few you can do as a team and that you're both competent at. Forcing them to do a chore with you that they feel judged on will backfire. One mom who was struggling to get her teen daughter to talk to her found that when she offered to join in her daughter's chore of walking the family dog, that those 20 minutes were the best minutes of the day together. It still wasn't the mom's job or chore, but the daughter had time to open up as they strolled through their neighborhood. Make a date. Plan something fun for you and your teen. It works best if you plan it with your teen, but again, one-on-one, nobody else. It could be to go to a movie that just opened, the concert of a band you've been listening to together, volunteering together, even if it's for school volunteer credit. A trip to the animal shelter to look at kittens and puppies, putt-putt golf or bowling, whatever. Just enjoy a date. Something else you can do is read the books that they're assigned in school while they're reading them. You two listen to them together, either on Audible or you read them separately, but read the same book and talk about it. Watch a weekly show together. There is so much available. Pick something and get involved in the storyline and the characters. Look forward to watching a program together each part of the week that you pick. Try a new hobby together. Kayaking, bead making, bread making, clay pottery, axe throwing, pickleball, geocaching, mahjong. You could even have a try it theme where you don't even have to get good at it. You just rotate through different things you've never done before. Go camping or on a hike. There's nothing like getting away from the hustle and bustle of all the electronics in our lives. Go to a nearby attraction. We live close to San Francisco, but most families don't take the time to visit great places that are near them, like Alcatraz Island or taking a walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. Find something famous you've never been to and make the time to go. Your teen might even have a place related to their hobby or passion that they'd like to visit that wouldn't be at the top of your list. But I want to say go, experience, and be curious. I hope a few of these ideas resonate with you. You can even print out the blog post of this podcast so that you can circle ideas and write them down and look at them yourselves. Now I want to give you a few parting tips and tricks as I wrap up this brainstorming session for what to do when you feel you can get to a deeper level with your teen once they've opened up a bit. First, be honest. Let them know any topic is open. Drugs, sex, drinking, anything. This is where you really have to take off your judgment hat and listen and connect so that you can discuss these hard topics instead of shame your team or yell at them for expressing views that are different than yours. Next, be available, even when it's not convenient for you. If your teen wants to talk to you as you thought you were going to get some rest, take the time. Consider it a gift instead of a burden. Just listen. Don't minimize whatever the problem is and try to solve it. Just listen. Ask questions. No lectures. Show some love. Say good morning and good night. Give them hugs when they squirm. Commiserate on how oppressive homework can feel. It makes it a little easier on the teen if someone at least appreciates that they worked all day at school and now they have to work all evening on homework. And bringing tea or a snack It'll help melt your teen's heart. Control your emotions. It's easy for your temper to flare when your teen is being rude. Remember to go brain dead. Don't let your teen's emotions become your emotions. When emotions are involved, it means the thinking brain is offline and nothing will be solved until everyone is calm. In the moment, only love and empathy are needed. Reflective listening and offering a hug might help, but feel free to count to 10 and take some deep breaths if you have to. I have real resources for controlling anger if you need them that I'll put at the end of the podcast. Don't be a dictator. You still get to set the rules, but be ready to explain them. While pushing the boundaries is natural for teenagers, hearing your thoughtful explanation about things like why parties on school nights aren't allowed will make them seem more reasonable. Talk to them like an adult with respect and make it clear that you value their opinions and expect respect in return. Invite your teen's friends over. This is such a stealth move. I always learn so much from my son's friends. One mom said the best way to make sure her son's friends came over was to keep the kitchen stocked with food and let them all know they were free to eat anything they wanted. Feed them and they will come and stay nearly every day. I love it. Lastly, forget traditional discipline. Instead, use misbehavior or poor judgment as an opportunity to get closer to your teen and help them develop good judgment. When your teen makes mistakes, talk with them and listen. Most of the time when a teen acts out, it's because like any person, they're going through some emotional upheaval or just didn't know better. Getting to the root of the issue and then helping them problem solve how to deal with their emotions better will go much further than locking the door and throwing away the key, or in our current situation, taking away cell phones or Wi-Fi or other electronic devices. Taking away their lifeblood only teaches them that we're mean when what we want is for them to learn from their poor choices. I wish you all of the best in connecting with your teens. I'd love to hear from you if any of you try any of these suggestions or if you have some new ones you'd like to tell me about. If you send me a story of your attempt to connect, whether it's good or bad, I'll give you a free 30-minute Zoom coaching call no matter where you are in the world. Yep, free. My email is mary@parentingdakota.com. I'll include it in the show notes as well so that you can look it up. That's all for now. If you have a few seconds, I'd love for you to leave me a podcast review. Have a blessed rest of your day.